Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Coach, good morning. How is everything?
Good morning to you.
We're doing great. Wanted to get right to it. And, you know, I was thinking about this in terms of the structure of camp that's come up with the acclimation days, the kind of you go in shells for a couple days. It's just an atypical camp that's going to happen. In this league that's increasingly plug and play, seemingly every year more rookies play and are on the two deep and get a lot of time. Do you think coaches will be hesitant because of how this camp is structured to play young guys and maybe lean on even free agent veterans or guys that are down the line a little bit and give them more reps and not trust rookies as much?
Well, it's going to test the evaluation part of it. That's probably the biggest casualty of the current structure. And coaches are having to really draw on all the experiences they can because they've had to draw up so many different plans for training camp, to from four preseason games to two preseason games to no preseason games. It's going to be a different six-week progression. And the thing that's going to suffer most is the evaluation because you're not scrimmaging other teams. You don't have preseason games. I actually think it could go the other way because of the lack of evaluation that you're going to have on the young players. And the last thing you ever want to do is let a young player walk out of the building. We may see some, you know, veteran players, back-end veteran players, second-level veteran players, that actually are a little more vulnerable because clubs are going to err on the side of the youth because they see the talent and say, well, we're going to bet on the come on these young players rather than go with the older players. So it's going to be a mix with every team.
What positions do you think, Brian, will be most impacted by the lack of prep time? It would seem to me that skill position guys, you know, at the corner or wide receiver positions, for example, where you just say, hey, go out there, run a crossing pattern, or go out there and stop the guy in front of you, would be best able to adjust to the lack of training camp time.
Yeah, but by the same token also, you're talking about a more limited time frame for the quarterbacks and the receivers to kind of get in that sixth sense, you wink, I nod phase where they kind of know each other and read right. Things the same way, particularly if you're talking about young quarterbacks like in Cincinnati and Miami. That's a tough thing to accelerate through, particularly when you have no live games. And even in the secondary, you're right. You would look at it and say, okay, athletically, you just play cat defense. You cover that cat, and we're good to go. But there's also a nuance in terms of the back end with safeties and corners in conjunction with linebackers and who fills, who has deep third, who has here. You know, there's a communication process that has to be worked out. So, yeah, every position is going to be – anytime you're working with different groups or different people within a tight time frame, it's tough because you want to get into that rhythm that you have to play effectively, whether it's on the back end defensively or whether it's a receiver with a quarterback.
You can text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan. Text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Brian Billick, NFL Network, with us here. Fan Morning Show. People complain seemingly every year. I think some of it is overblown, but they complain about the tackling. If they thought the tackling was bad before, how bad is it going to be now?
Yeah, well, you have to understand when you come into camp, there's three phases or three levels of conditioning you have to get into: cardiovascular, muscular, and then hitting shape. Now, cardiovascular, the players, these are great athletes. They're in cardiovascular shape pretty good. in terms of what we would call football shape or muscular shape. You have to go through the first week or so of that, you know, the major cuts and the bigger muscle groups. So there's the hamstrings, the quads, the calves, the groins, you know, that happens every camp. And that comes fairly readily. But then it's the hitting shape. And that, you're exactly right. You do have to get into hitting shape. And the fact that there is no preseason games, coaches are going to have to be very judicious about the amount of time that they're facing one another and hitting, because now you're getting double the exposure, so to speak, because you don't have another team to go against. You got to kind of service each other. When I was coaching during training camp, one of the biggest things I felt was my job was during the course of a practice was to watch and judge how much hitting can we get away with at the end of practice? How much do we need? Because every time you expose your players to that, you expose yourself to injury. So coaches are going to have to be very conscious, very mindful of how much hitting do we need to do to get into that hitting shape.
Brian Billick of NFL Network with us here on the Fan Morning Show. At first blush, Brian, what are your thoughts on how the Steelers, a team filled with veterans at a lot of important positions and not necessarily expecting rookies to walk in and have a huge impact right away, to go back to the veteran/rookie conversation and the lack of training camp time we had earlier, what's your first impression on how the Steelers will handle that?
It should be an advantage, certainly, when you have the veterans that group, particularly a group like the Steelers, if there's a group that can kind of get away with no preseason games and still kind of get into that level that you're going to have to play at in the opener, certainly when you have a veteran group and you have a veteran quarterback, that certainly helps, and that's going to make a big difference as well. So it's just a matter of the toughest teams are the ones with the new coaches and the new, you know, that have not had that ramp-up time that with their new players and a new system and all the things that go with it, they're going to be the ones that, like Cincinnati, are going to be the tested. I think Baltimore, obviously, particularly on offense with that veteran group they have, they return virtually everybody offensively except for Marshall Yanda. They, too, are going to be able to kind of hit the ground running.
Now, Polamalu territory is pretty lofty. Obviously, he's going into the Hall of Fame, and I wouldn't want to put Minka Fitzpatrick anywhere near there. But should there be an expectation that it's not thinking on the fly anymore, that having his nose in a playbook for an offseason, he should be even better in a Steelers uniform this year, Coach?
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, like we referred to earlier, that back end, and no more so than at the safety position, because that's one that has to work in lockstep with one another, the safety, the free safety, the corners, but with the linebackers as well, particularly when you're going to drop in and out of the box and some of the multiple coverages that you do and the responsibility. They're clearly, you know, this goes back to what we talked about, very much a veteran group, having been through a season, knowing each other's nuances, so to speak, definitely should see a better mesh on the back end because of that.
What about what you saw from Devin Bush and his ability to physically excel, athletically excel last year, Brian, should be augmented by an entire offseason in the playbook?
Yeah, absolutely. Although all but a different off season, you know, because of for obvious reasons. But you know, like we said, certainly that does make a difference. And particularly as I alluded to, the linebacker, again, integration with the back end, with the safeties, the front end, with the defensive line. So that certainly makes a difference in terms of, you know, the hard thing is the biggest jump in improvement for a young player really does happen between the first and second year. You know, as a rookie, it's just a blur, and you come in and you kind of survive. And then you have an off season to really delve in and get into the film, get more comfortable with it, particularly, you know, you get through the OTAs. Well, to not have that, you know, does make a difference. Certainly, I'm sure he went through the films and the coaches were able to communicate and say, you know, look at this, look at that, and remember this in this game and see that development. And a lot of that's going to have to come in training camp, but certainly it's going to be accelerated because of the experiences he had last year.
Would you make a 10-year commitment to any player? And if there is a special one to make it to, is it Patrick Mahomes?
Well, if you're going to do it, it's at the quarterback position. And as odd as this sounds, you know, he's the $500 million man, 10 years from now, that contract's going to look pretty good to the club. You know, when you have a long-term, and it's not a true 10-year. We know that it's usually prorated as you go. Although the difficulty for Kansas City, and it's not a difficulty, it's a positive as well, as they deal with cap issues. And when you hand out a contract like that, like any team that gives out one of these mega contracts, you then have to deal with, okay, how does that affect our payroll? How does that affect our cap going forward? Well, they're going to be going to Camp Mahomes a lot, or Bank Mahomes a lot. Basically, when they need cap relief, they're going to guarantee larger and larger chunks of this money, not that a lot of it isn't guaranteed already, in order to get some cap relief. Well, when you get to the back end of it, when, okay, and although he's such a very young player, you saw this in Dallas with Troy Aikman, where they kept going back and restructuring. Well, when Troy got to the back end of the contract, they had a lot of dead money for a long time. I don't think that's going to be the problem with Patrick Mahomes because he is so young. And if you are going to do it, to know that you're set at the quarterback position and you're not going to have to deal with this contract and you can plan long-term that way, yeah, it can be a huge advantage for Kansas City.
Brian, when we look back at the end of Patrick Mahomes' contract, whether it's in 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, whatever it may be, are we going to be looking back on a Mahomes v. Lamar-style rivalry that is up there with Brady and Manning of 10 years ago, or is that just putting way too much on each of these guys right now?
Well, that is probably putting a lot on them, but it's probably realistic. These are two unique talents, different, obviously. And we'll see, obviously, with Lamar Jackson. The question for Lamar, of course, is what is the growth from within the pocket, and how long can he sustain carrying the ball as, you know, 175, 200 times a game, you know, and you got to give Baltimore credit. They're all in it. Hey, this is the way we play. And he's a unique athlete that knows how to kind of protect himself. But it's not a problem till it's a problem, till he gets that hit that you know, in this league and such talented defense and skilled and physical defenses, it really is. The question is, how long can he sustain carrying the ball that many times, or can his game morph to where in big chunks you're seeing more and more? He is a 500-plus throw guy, a 600-plus throw guy. Maybe keep the runs, you know, in and around 100 or so, a Russell Wilson-type level that you'd probably prefer and want to get away with from 75 to 100. That's going to be the key for Lamar Jackson, but these are two dynamic talents that there's no reason to think we're not going to see this. And you can even throw in Deshaun Watson, who I think the world of. This is going to be an interesting trifecta to see how these guys continue to develop.
Last question for you. We all know what the tape looks like. If you were a front office guy, would you bring Antonio Brown in and talk to him at this point, or is he too far gone?
Boy, it's hard. You know, there's no question he can still play physically. That's not even an issue. It's where is he mentally? The fact that he has bounced around now, obviously kind of went off the charts and was dealing with some issues and went off, then came back and said, no, I'm back. I realize, I apologize, I shouldn't have gone this way. I'm ready to come back. And now says, okay, no, now I'm done. I'm retired. So that kind of up and down would concern me. My guess is he had some opportunities, and it was at a contract level that the clubs were comfortable with. Well, let's just see how this works out, because you kind of have been kind of all over the charts here, and he doesn't want to play for that. So, yeah, there's probably a lot of elements to this. Physically, there's no question you'd love to have him.
Coach, before we let you go, tell us about X-Tech shoulder pads, if you would.
Yeah, unique time, obviously, to protect the players. I'm very proud of where we are with X-Tech pad, the number one pad in the National Football League. Guys like George Kittle, Matt Ryan, Saquon Barkley, colleges like Oregon, Auburn, USC, Ohio State, Notre Dame, replete with the pad, and now at the high school level. And the thing that the big thing right now is it's hard to get players fitted for these pads. But because of our digital technology, we can form fit a pad based on age, level of play, position, injury history, height, weight, shoulder measurements to fit a player specifically. And we have no supply issues because it's 100% American made. So you need particularly high school players. You need to get these guys in these pads. Check it out at xtechpads.com.
Brian Billick, NFL Network. Coach, thank you. We'll talk again.
Sounds good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.